When you see someone sipping on a crisp, refreshing drink from McDonald's, you may suddenly crave one too. And that's normal. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
All your ice-cold go-to drinks are here whenever that mood hits. From classic Coca-Cola to a sparkling Sprite to a sweet, sweet tea. Get any size for just $1.39, only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, Episode 7, the big episode, rivalry games and familiar names.
Today we're talking college football, NFL, and we have some very special guests who might remember a little something about a rivalry called the big game, Cal-Stanford.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Well, let's get started. Everybody, she is Emily Van Buskirk. I am Kaylee Krish. Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then you're in for a super delicious treat
as we have
our first guest host ever.
Woo!
Number one in your hearts, number one on the podcast.
Beautiful. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes.
Now, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Sideline Sass. That's with three S's.
So much sass. You can also find us on Facebook and throw us a like there at Sideline Sass.
I'll even let you add our own Instagram and Twitter names. I am at Miss Krish.
And I'm at MLNem.
And all the links are in the show notes.
At audioboom.com.
Now,
let's get sassy. All right, we are kicking off today's big game week episode with our old friend and new friend, Jordan Watkins. He played all over Stanford's defensive line. And we are very fortunate to have him in the house to break down this year's big game and talk about past memories. So welcome, Jordan.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We are.
Now, this is our first time having a co-host.
That's so true.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You have some shoes to fill.
Well, good thing I have big feet, right?
Well, you know what they say.
Yeah,
number
big socks.
Number one in Stanford's hearts and now number one on our podcast.
In our sassy hearts.
Yes.
All right, so this first segment we are calling Quick Hits. Uh-oh. We want to talk quickly, Emily, about some of the biggest things that we want to talk about. And obviously, this podcast is football focused. Mm-hmm. So let's just kick it off right away with the mix-up. In the college football rankings, number one Georgia gets taken down by Auburn. Now, Jordan, I know this was probably painful for you being a Georgia boy yourself. So Were you watching that game? Did you cry?
Did you turn it off?
For me, it was, I actually didn't even grow up a Georgia fan. I grew up a Georgia Tech fan.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But
shout
now
out
that,
to Patrick Scove one time.
There you go, Pat Scove, the boy. But, after, I've gone out to college, I became a fan of both. Mm-hmm. And I was just really hoping that was going to be a really good game. And,
yeah.
I mean, after the first drive Georgia had, Marshall right down the field, I thought it was the same thing. But, yeah, that was pretty bad. But, that was, the theme of the whole weekend with all
it
the
was.
Games
that
were supposed to be
You're
good.
Right. How does a defense like Georgia's, who's so well put together, you would know, how does that happen? Do you have a complete meltdown? Do guys just go to sleep?
Well, sometimes you have those moments where, you beat yourself. Mm. And from what, all that I watched and things I saw about the game, whether it be penalties, turnovers, things like that, it seemed like that's what Georgia did. And Auburn, they came to play that day.
They came to beat the number one overall team.
They really did.
Yep.
And so, the ball just kept rolling from there.
Yeah. Well, I do like Kerryon Johnson. Auburn.
Oh, he's a great
player.
He's
a beast. And if he weren't, he's only played 8 games. So he's second in scoring in the nation behind Florida Atlantic's player. And he's only played 8 games. So everyone else played 10. And can you imagine if he had played all 10, he might be in a Heisman.
And then remember, he used to carry the load. He would split it with Petway.
That's right.
So now that Petway's hurt, he's been the bell cow of that team. Yeah.
Taking it all. Well, what I think is a little bit more interesting than who's in the top.
Who?
Thank you, Emily. Anyway, what I think is more interesting than who's in the top now is actually who's in like 5 through 8, which it ends up being Wisconsin, then Auburn, then Georgia, then Ohio State. So Georgia loses one game, drops all the way down to 7.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Notre Dame is somewhere right around in that mix, who's lost 2 and got demolished by Miami.
That Miami
game. But they're still, like, semi in the folds with where Georgia is. Like, how does that – how did they do that?
Doesn't that always seem to happen with Notre Dame?
It does.
They even, you know, they have a loss that's, like, not that bad. But once they win again, it's like, there they are again. But I think the most interesting thing is Wisconsin. Because
here,
you know,
here comes the hate on Wisconsin, right?
Oh, it's not even hate. It's just, you know, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
And everyone would think, okay, you know, undefeated Big Ten team. They win conference championship.
Yeah.
They're in. But then I think I saw something the other day. It said that, you know, a Big Ten team for the most part has like no, or they have like the least amount of wins versus other ranked teams, which is interesting. And of course, you look at Wisconsin's division, obviously the East has all the firepower.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think that Big Ten championship for Wisconsin is going to be very interesting.
It is. And I wrote about it this week in my stat column, so shameless plug for
Shout
that.
Shout out.
Yeah, you should check it out. But I made a case for Wisconsin because the facts are, like you said, they're undefeated. They lead the nation in actually several statistical categories, third down conversion, rushing defense, total defense. So they're actually the best defensive team in the nation. And that Georgia loss opened up a huge door. Now imagine for a second a world where Washington hadn't lost to Stanford. A world where we would have had a Pac-12 team that could have walked through that door that Auburn opened.
I would love to live in a world like that one day.
I would love for, I mean, I love Stanford, and I know, you know, we got a Stanford player here, but don't you ever want to see your conference get the respect it deserves?
Well, if you ask me, 2 years ago, we should have had a team that was there.
Fair enough.
You can ask Iowa about that, how we felt about not being there. But
hit them up.
You know, definitely. I mean, when Oregon was in it, you know, they represented well, made it to the championship and put up a good game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely would love to see a Pac-12 team in there, but I'm not going to feel bad that Stanford beat Washington.
But Stanford's win over Washington doesn't mean anything in the sense that they're not going. I mean, we know they're not going. The only other team that might go is USC. They're 11, though. That's, I mean, unless shit goes crazy this weekend, which,
it could.
We don't know.
Right.
The chances of USC then winning go up, okay. But this win that they beat Washington, and maybe Washington's not the team I thought they were. Maybe that I need to get over it. But they're built, in my opinion, the best to handle Alabama, to best to handle Georgia. They're defensively sound, except for when they play Stanford. And, you know, I think Jake Browning's better than how he played. I think that game was kind of a wash.
I mean, I think that game was...
It makes me mad. I'm mad.
I mean, it's like you said, though. Obviously, for the conference, it would have done better for
Washington
to win. Would have
been nice. I'm sick of people talking trash about the Pac-12.
Well, you know, that's because they're always asleep when we play. So that's just going to happen. I mean, if they're awake, we're on, what, the Fox Business Channel?
I can't even with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the universe is against the Pac-12.
Well, then, speaking of being asleep, it's pretty hard to watch Heisman hopefuls if you're not watching their games. So
I know where this is going. So, I'm ready for this one.
Right, all right. So Heisman race right now. We got Baker Mayfield at number 1, which Emily is in love with, I'm sure.
Family.
Number 2 is going to be our boy Bryce Love from Stanford. So he's still trucking.
Right.
You know, he's moving up.
On one leg.
Yes, actually.
We got Khalil Tate, who has been amazing, but
I do like Khalil Tate.
Lamar Jackson just coming back up in the ranks.
He's had a better season this year than he did in his Heisman season.
Isn't it crazy what expectations do?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
Especially when he kind of fell off the radar early on in the season.
But he has continuously led the nation in total offense. So I've been doing this stat article since week 1.
Mm-hmm.
He has led every week.
Keep those shameless plugs going on. Keep them going. Keep them going.
I need readers to get to my article. So, but Lamar Jackson has always, he's always been solid. He just, Louisville hasn't panned out the way that people thought. But Bryce Love for Heisman, if you had to make 3 points to sell him and we're the committee, go.
All right, step 1.
Yep.
You just actually mentioned it. You talked about how good Washington's defense is.
Yep.
166 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns.
I shot myself in the foot.
Yeah, hey, you did.
Here you go. Just start things off.
Just here's the shovel, Emily. All right.
Okay, another one. Okay. I know you talked about how Kerryon Johnson, how he leads the country in scoring in 8 games.
He's second, but yeah, he might as well because the
right.
guy from Florida Atlantic.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
But yes.
And then, of course, you think about how Bryce leads all running backs
rushing,
in rushing yards a game.
Yes.
And just rushing yards in general, yep. and he missed the whole game.
Okay.
So, another one.
But
another
how many
one.
Of those rushing yards came against... I can't think of a weak team right now.
I can think of Mercer, who Auburn played. So.
Okay. Well, fair. Okay, what's your next point?
And then lastly, and I mean, obviously I know one man doesn't make a team, but
right.
if you had to look.
Does.
I think we have proof.
I won't say it.
I think Oregon State game is pretty much proof.
And
that,
that's where I was going. Yeah. If you had to look at a game
yeah.
where he didn't play.
Yeah.
And I think that's how voters have to look at
yeah.
it.
But voters have to watch these games.
Another good point.
Wow, so.
But that's the problem is I went to the Heisman two years ago, when mm-hmm.
Christian's here.
And I actually was, I'm not a Heisman voter, but I covered the Heisman and I was speaking with people who vote. And I'm not kidding you. I went up to somebody and was talking to them about Christian and they said, who? And I said, you know, Christian McCaffrey is one of the candidates for Heisman. And they said, oh, yeah, I've never seen him play.
Well, apparently that's how Iowa was before
yeah.
the Rose Bowl. They had guys saying, like, you know, I haven't really seen him play.
Oh, well, you're about to.
Well, they found,
how
they
about,
found out.
How
first
about
play.
On this opening kickoff? Yeah.
But, okay, my question to you is for Bryce.
Sure.
He's clearly beat up. I mean, you were at the Washington game, as was I. I was sitting – I have several videos. I don't know if you saw my Twitter, but I was sitting right, you mm-hmm. know, in front of the bench. And he's coming off in between plays,
yeah.
literally not being able to walk. He's sitting down, like, laying down on the bench. Like, mm-hmm. it looked, like, rough.
It's still bothering
And I'll tell you this. He came out first half, looked tough. Second half, he comes out. He looks a little with more pep in his step.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that it was anything that he had in the locker room, but it wasn't an energy bar. So,
hey,
I don't really.
That Gatorade does some magical things.
Oh, those endurance formulas are something
yeah,
else.
Okay.
But
I'm saying is
he has firsthand experience. He knows.
Is this worth it for him? Like, longevity, you got beat up. I mean, you played a tough position.
Mm-hmm.
What is this doing to him long term?
Well, I mean.
And can you, like, why is Shaw letting him do that?
It's working.
But
right. I mean, you know,
yeah.
it's.
I can't argue with that. It is working.
Yeah.
But I understand where you're coming from, though, Jordan, because, like, right now, I feel like what most players see is they only have right now.
Mm-hmm.
They only have right now to prove they're Heisman
right.
hopefuls. They only have right now to prove that they deserve to be in the draft. They only have now. And so I think when you're playing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but
mm-hmm.
you have that in your mind. It's like, I have to play one more game. I just need one more game.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually reading this article the other day on Bryce, or he interviewed, I think it was with Jim Rome.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And, you know, Bryce was talking about how, you know, he remembers when he was a kid in North
yeah.
Carolina watching TV and talking about the Heisman.
Yeah.
And now it's like all of a sudden he's in it. You know, like
yeah.
that. It's
that's
like,
crazy.
You know, it's like Kayla just said, that's something that doesn't happen every year. So, I mean, obviously for him, you know, he's definitely going to go after it. And then, of course, for Stanford overall, they're still in the Pac-12 title hopes.
Which does us so much good for them to go to the, I think this year it's the Fiesta Bowl or whichever ones. It's the Rose and Sugar are the.
I believe so for the.
So
it'd
be,
I
think
playoff.
It'd be Fiesta, best case scenario. Then
well,
it, worst case is Foster
day.
Farms.
I'll have a field day on Twitter if/when we win the Pac-12 championship.
Okay.
So it's good for me.
You can at me then, I'll let you. But
absolutely.
My question to you as a defense player, how would you stop Bryce Love?
See, the thing is. You would think that, I mean, if you just look at him,
yeah.
I guess it's like the same with Christian, not that big. You know, if we
yeah,
make
not
him.
Not a remarkably.
Right.
Like,
so if you.
Big looking guy.
Yeah. So if you know you kept him inside the tackles,
uh-huh.
don't let him bounce outside,
yeah.
you could contain him. But the thing is,
no.
you know, just for me knowing Bryce personally, he's so much stronger than people
than
realize.
Looks, ah.
So it's just. You know, you got to beat them with team defense. I know it's kind of like probably like a cliche
so
thing.
Cliche.
Right. But, I mean, honestly, you had to have multiple people tackling them, contacting them. Because, I mean, even in the Washington State game, thinking about when he broke that big run,
yeah.
he was hitting the backfield and then had to make someone else miss before he took off. So, yeah, you just got to get multiple bodies on him at the same time.
Well, even on film, though, he looks tough. So
mm-hmm.
you're saying in person it's just you're not prepared for the level of, like, strength that comes at you.
Even
though you watch film on him.
Right. I mean, I remember this was – I think this was last year, and I just shook his hand.
Yeah.
And his handshake was so much stronger than what I thought it was going to be. I was like, wait a minute.
Who are you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How do you get so much power?
You got a firm handshake, ladies and gentlemen. Give him the Heisman.
Hey, reason number four right there.
Firm handshake.
Firm handshake.
There's no way Baker Mayfield's handshake is as firm as Bryce Love's.
I'm saying it right now.
I believe it right now.
I think if you're going to...
Baker Mayfield's like a high five kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Or like a pistols?
Finger guns.
Finger guns, you know?
For
I think.
Sure.
Well,
yeah,
Baker's definitely a dancer. I'm sure you've seen that video before.
Yeah.
But Bryce Love, I've seen him move a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a fair dance off.
Not at all.
If we're thinking of alternate categories for the Heisman, dancing, handshake, these are all great ideas.
I think so.
Wonderful.
What about arm wrestling? No.
That's tough because he's a quarterback, so I don't know.
You might have a strong.
Was that too white?
No, it's a little weird. It's a little like, yeah. But, all right.
I tell you what, if there was a Heisman for arm wrestling, I'm picking Eric Cotton to win.
Really?
Yes.
Cotton.
Eric Cotton.
Man, we haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah.
You know what we miss is the tight end you.
Yeah.
The Stanford tight end you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that was such a trademark for so many years, and tight ends were instrumental. Zach Ertz, mm-hmm. you know, even Levine Toilolo.
Yep.
Love the kid.
Well, if it's not back yet, it's definitely on its way back.
I hope so.
Definitely. I mean, with Dalton.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Colby Parkinson, Scooter. I mean, it's on its way back.
It's not so much that they don't have the talent, and I'm not speaking ill of David Shaw ever, but sometimes we don't see things utilized in a way that makes a lot of sense. And I think Stanford fans this year have struggled with that more than ever. There's a lot of concern with the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
KJ Costello. Do we see Keller Chris? Both good guys.
Yeah, the whole dual quarterback thing.
Yeah, you know, should we have just seen Costello all along? Which, mm-hmm. you know, but Keller's a nice guy, so it's tough. But to me, was Keller on the team when you were there?
He was the starter my fifth year.
Right. So you know what kind of person he is. He's a good kid.
Absolutely. Hard worker.
Does it look different to you this year than last year? Like, does he look different play-wise? Confidence-wise?
I mean, the only thing I could think of, because, I mean, I know how much preparation and all this stuff that he puts into it. But, you know, sometimes I do wonder how much mentally, because, I mean, he tore his ACL.
Right. And may have come back a little early.
Well, not even that, but just, you know, making sure that it doesn't, you know, he stays protected.
You're worried about it.
Right.
Interesting.
And, I mean, besides that, I don't see that much different. I haven't heard anything really different from, you know, anyone still on the team. So, I think that's the one
tough thing
I can think of. Yeah.
It's been tough for him not sticking with one and the other. I know as a team that's hard when you're kind of going around like that, but I don't know.
Well,
I could go on. We could literally do this all day.
We could. And I'm sure our listeners might get a little bored. Okay, we get it. Bryce Love should win the Heisman. We're saying it here now? Yes? Okay.
No,
absolutely.
I'm saying Baker Mayfield. So.
I'm saying Bryce.
We're going to have an arm wrestling match, me and Jordan, and whoever wins.
I'm tag teaming Cotton in for me.
Let's get him out here.
All right, well, let's move on to some NFL stuff going on. Breaking news. After apparently Tyrod Taylor decided to lose the game for the Bills, the head coach decides... stop it.
Oh, it's my fantasy quarterback.
decides to bench him in this upcoming week and playing backup Nathan Peterman. Now, I just want to say I saw this beautiful stat today said every week Tyrod Taylor makes $460,000, right? This entire year, Nathan Peterman will make $460. So what does that say about Tyrod? Are they just trying to prepare for what's next? He's a free agent this year. What do you think, Jordan?
I mean, I feel like this has been a question for years, you know, dealing with Tyrod in terms of, is he the guy? Are they going to look somewhere else, you know? But I think that this could be a sign for it. And, you know, I'm a Falcons fan. And I believe they played the Saints this week and got destroyed by the Saints, so I wasn't happy by that. But, I mean, you know, when something like that does happen and, you know, sometimes you might need a change up just to get a different morale going for a team, you know.
That's fair. Different leadership.
Right. It's worked for so many other – I mean, you see what the Texans were doing before Deshaun Watson got hurt.
Yeah.
Of course, that has to deal with how good Deshaun Watson is too. But, again, just, you know, different direction. So, I mean, that might be it.
But don't you think that wouldn't it put more emphasis to change leadership on the defense, seeing as how they let in so many points? Like, wouldn't you change it on that side of the ball rather than on a side that's should be working. I mean, it was working in other games.
Right. And, I mean, you know, that would make sense. But usually, if you when I think of the Bills, they're usually a good defensive team. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this week was, you know, the Saints were really just that good. Because, I mean, the Saints almost ran for 300 yards.
Yeah.
They don't usually do that. They throw for 500. And then it's like, okay, we'll rush when we need to. So it could have just been, you know, one of those games. Also, shout out Andrews Pete, who's on that Saints offensive line.
Oh,
shout
that's
out.
The other guy we forgot
Pete.
Was.
That's
yes.
right.
Andrews Pete, that's
uh-huh.
right.
We love
he was
him
part
too.
Of that.
That whole crew.
That good night. Good night.
That whole crew we talked about, yeah.
But could you argue that Shaw did the same kind of thing this year with the – like, when – where's the line here when you change out quarterbacks? What does it matter if it's halfway through the season, if mm-hmm. it's – does he get a pass because he named them both as starter, like both of them starting?
I mean, that one's tough because I know that was going on pretty much from the start of the year mm-hmm. where, you know, it's like Keller gets this drive and that mm-hmm. drive. KJ gets this drive, that drive.
So because he lays that out, then that gives him the room to then
well, I'm just
make
saying,
a decision or no?
I'm just saying I think in terms of like a team's morale and mm-hmm. just changing things where if like, let's say
someone's starting.
Like, just permanently, and yeah. it's not going well. Okay, let's try to get somebody else in there okay. and see if we can turn it around.
What about in a single game when that happens? Is that's the same kind of feeling as when you do it in a season, right?
Well, yeah, because I think about, I kind of remember it was a Colorado game, I think my freshman year, when Kevin Hogan, like, officially took over.
I was at that game.
I was, that was a great
Kevin
one.
Hogan, man.
And it was just like, you know, obviously Josh did a great job for
right.
us. But then once, you know, Kevin was a star, it's like you could yeah. just feel a different
yeah.
energy with the team.
So maybe it doesn't quite matter who the person is. No offense to any of the people that are chosen, but it's just what you're talking about, that reset
right.
feeling. And it could actually be anybody, but
right.
they just – and then if they fit in, they fit in.
So then on the other side of that, you wouldn't change something if things are going well. And in this case, Case Keenum
mm-hmm.
Is going to stay – under center for the Vikings.
Should look at him in fantasy.
Yeah, there you go. we'll stay under center in for the Vikings
mm-hmm.
instead of bringing in Teddy Bridgewater, even though he's ready to go.
Right.
So what do you think about that? Is that a good move?
Well, first and foremost, I am extremely happy that Teddy's back.
Me too.
I'm sure if anyone else saw that video of how emotional he was
yeah.
after the anthem was played, just to be back.
Yeah, didn't even play, and he's
but he was just so happy.
Happy.
I was happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're the Vikings, I believe they're leading the division. If not, they're in
oh,
a
yeah.
battle with Detroit. So you got to go with what's hot. And Case Keenum has been very hot as of late. So I completely understand sticking with him.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay.
I think that does it for quick hits.
That does. Oh, yeah. That was supposed to be a lot quicker.
It weren't that quick. But
no.
Oops.
That's what happens when
Emily starts
good people
talking.
Are in the building and we start having dropping knowledge bombs and talking about Kevin Hogan.
All right. Well, Jordan's going to stick around. And up next,
we're bringing a special surprise guest.
Special secret guest. So
Kyler
stick
Sanford.
Around.
Kyler Sanford. Who is it?
Yeah, we got to talk about this 50 to nothing.
We will. We will. All right.
Wadi, why don't you introduce our guest?
Sure. So for everyone listening, right now we have current Philadelphia Eagle, former Stanford Cardinal standout Azeez Chetu, also known as the 2016
yeah.
Rose Bowl defensive MVP.
I think that's in his bio.
It is.
Also
finesse has been finessing.
Brother, you know it.
He is and has been
that.
Finessing his way into hearts since 1994.
Oh. Beautiful intro.
Welcome, Azeez.
Shoot, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Beautiful. So, Azeez, why don't you start off? What are you doing? What are you up to?
Yeah. How you living?
Shoot, I'm living not too bad. I'm not living too bad. Unfortunately, I'm on IR. I ended up tearing my meniscus during OTA, so I've been on IR with the Eagles. So just a lot of rehab, a lot of 2K.
You need that practice.
But, I mean, other than that, man, just trying to get better, you know. But I do get to have a little more of a bird's eye view of, you know, Stanford football now. Saturdays, I get to be more attempt for on the game, so it's kind of been able good year to watch, or We've had better years, but hopefully they'll finish off strong, you know, get a Pac-12 championship with a little bit of help from Washington.
Right.
I guess I would love to ask you, since you've been a part of several big game weeks, what would be something that's memorable or that stands out from the activities that week, maybe non-game related, that you remember that was particularly fun?
Shoot, I mean, two things when you say that kind of stand out. One, the first thing that popped to my mind was like the big sign. I think it was right in front of Meyer, was it, Waddy?
Yeah, right on Meyer Library.
Yeah, where it says big game week or like big game, beat Cal.
Yep.
On the little side, so that's cool to see the whole week. I don't even remember seeing it personally, but also would have been cool to see them the fountains go red.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That's one thing they do. That's one thing they do on campus. I don't think I ever got a chance to see it, but aww, it was dope.
Yeah, we saw.
But in all my 4 years,
go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, in all my 4 years, the big game rally was cool. I think I went to every big game rally though, because I had gotten some killer hot chocolate. Usually every year.
Oh man, that hot chocolate was key.
All right, I'll take the free
note,
hot chocolate.
Good note. Get to the rally. Chocolate. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, this year.
But what? What were you saying?
This year, have you been able to keep up with the team a little bit more since you are on IR and kind of watching it from more of a fan perspective? What do you see from this team this year that's gonna get that axe back home?
Shoot, man. I mean, I've seen a lot of growth. Cause, I mean, early on in the year, I watched that USC game, and that was tough to watch. It was just like things just weren't going well.
Yeah.
But we've been able to pretty.
Wasn't that expected, though?
You never expect.
Was
that.
it's like sometimes like stuff goes bad, but like usually we're a good team. We're like usually a good enough team to like correct the ship before it like gets too bad, or like slow it down a little bit. That was just one game where I was like, dang, like we cannot get out of the funk.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough to watch, but we were able to kind of rebound though. I feel like from then we've had a couple other losses, but like it was all good games and good fights. So
yeah.
It's encouraging that we're still in a position to win the championship, which is crazy to think, but we're right in it. So
that's the Pac-12 for you though, right?
Say that again.
I said that's the Pac-12 for you, right? You're always kind of in position.
I feel like this year it's just it's anybody's ball game. Like
it's,
I feel like the Pac-12
is
kind of happening like this.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's, I don't even know if it's beating up on each other, but it's like anybody can beat anybody now. Like it's kind of crazy. I don't know if we're as talented as the league's been in the past, but like the competition amongst the league has been really good to watch, too.
See, to me, wouldn't that mean that the Pac-12 is one of, like, the better conferences?
We've been having this.
No, I gotta go here because...
That's what you would think,
because,
right?
Like, out to me, a good conference means that you have depth. Not my best
team. Is Colorado
team.
Depth?
Well, it was.
Is Oregon State depth?
Well,
but
I mean, they... when we won the Pac-12, you know... They almost beat the Pac-12 championship. We could check Pac-12 champion. We could say that.
I think Sefa Lufa almost beat. I mean, that was a big part of it.
I'm the devil's advocate, Waddy, but does that just mean some of our good teams, our so-called good teams, just play down
mm-hmm.
too often to bad teams or teams that are not as good?
I mean, that's a good point. I don't know, because it's not like, you know, it's been 1 year. It's been, you know, multiple years where this happens. Where it's like, you know, even if, let's say, Auburn's really good or something, like, you already knew Alabama's going to win the SEC.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The pandemic has been hard on all our kids. New studies show more than 1 in 3 children who started school in the pandemic now need intensive reading help. Here's the good news. Your child can be reading in just 30 days, guaranteed, with Hooked on Phonics.
My first grader was behind in reading, and this program has made a huge difference. She's now reading above grade level.
I use it for my kids' nightly reading for school. We love it, and it's super easy and quick to do.
My kid, who just turned 4 years old and has been using the program since January of this year, can now read. Thank you so much, Hooked on Phonics.
Even if your child has been struggling, Hooked on Phonics will teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. And right now, you can get started for just $1. Text the word ABOVE to 323232 right now. It's fast and easy. Text ABOVE to 323232 and teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. Text the word ABOVE to 323232. Text ABOVE to 323232.
See, whereas even if you had like a really good team, like, you know, like a lot of teams that we had, you still had to worry or think about, well, there's still this team that's going to give them a test or that team that's going to give them a test. Like, it might have not been the same team every year, but there was always, you know, some type of challenge or test for who was going to win what.
Yeah, we've been having this conversation for the last few weeks of what does this really mean for the Pac-12? Does this mean that, oh, the Pac-12's good or is it bad? And I can't see if the Pac-12 is eating itself alive. Mm-hmm. That can't mean positive things for the Pac-12. That just has to mean that every team in the Pac-12 is mediocre.
I just have to say right now that ESPN Game Day, I don't know if you guys saw this 2 weeks ago, but they did the Pac-12 Circle of Doom. Did you see that? I'm going to go on record right now because
you've already gone on record.
I created that. That was from a tweet that I sent out that said, you know, so-and-so beat so-and-so who beat so-and-so who beat so-and-so. And I've done this many years back to when we went to Notre Dame. And so I tweeted that. And then my buddy at Bleacher Report made a graphic calling it the Pac-12 Circle of Suck. And it was hilarious. And it was the same graphic that ESPN used in theirs. They just changed the word suck to doom.
Did you get credit for it?
No, of course not.
Hey, let's lawyer up.
I'm gonna sue somebody.
Somebody asked here.
But
somebody.
But Aziz, do you think, like, this is how I look at it? Like, do you think who's a middle of the road team? Oh, Cal. Okay, let's take Cal. Do you think Cal could beat anyone in the SEC? Vanderbilt? I don't even think Cal. I don't know if Cal beats Vanderbilt.
I think they beat Tennessee and Florida.
I think they're competing for sure. I think they're competing for sure.
Okay. Like that defense or what?
They may or may not beat them. I feel like we can't overhype mid-tier teams also in the SEC.
Okay, but
hype up what they are.
Do you think Cal, and I want to ask you guys both this, what do you think of Cal's defense just in the time that Wilcox has been there from last year? I mean, they don't lead the nation, but they're like top four in takeaways and turnover margin, that kind of stuff. What do you think, like, is that mind-blowing to see?
Well, I do remember when we played them last year, I think they were, like, without their top three or four safeties.
They're always injured. Yeah,
right.
Of course.
So, you know, just knowing some of the work that Coach Wilcox has done in the past, you knew that he was going to have a much better defense. But definitely, like, how fast it happened, that is pretty, pretty alarming and surprising.
What do you think is easy?
Shoot, I think that's exactly what Cal needed, because in terms of offensively, they've always been pretty decent, but they're finding ways to get the ball back into their hands more often instead of giving up points. They're getting the ball back and, you know, changing momentum. So, I mean, the turnover thing's huge, because I didn't even know they were leading in that stat. When you can get turnovers, you're just giving your offense more chances to score.
They get a lot of turnovers, so do you think that's a concern going into this game this weekend, the fact that Cal does create so many turnovers, and Stanford this year has had a harder time rebounding from when it makes its own mistakes? Do you think that's going to be a key?
I mean, you can never bank on turnovers, so, like, you can get, like, four or five takeaways in a game, and then the next 6 weeks not get any, so, like, it's just about who takes care of the ball, but... You never know. You never know. Because if a turnover happens, you know, they get rolling.
They do.
One takeaway creates another.
Very true.
That kid, James Looney, right? That's his
Looney, yeah.
Looney, that kid's scary. Have you seen him? He's a big guy.
Welcome to football.
Hey, all right.
Everyone's big to us.
Cal's trying to make their way now. So, okay, so realistically, do you think it's going to be a close game this weekend or no? Either of you.
I say Stanford pulls away late.
Like, pulls away away? Like, two touchdowns, or?
Like, all right, I will say...
Let's hear it.
41-28.
41? Wow, okay.
So, yeah, I'm not even saying we're scoring 50.
But what, they're tied until, like, the third?
I'll say it's close.
That'd be awesome, though.
It'll be close, and then All right, I'll even go even deeper.
Okay.
Bobby Okereke for, like, what, the fourth week in a row? Mm-hmm. Makes a big play, turns the game around, Stanford pulls away after that.
He has been having big plays. What about you, Aziz? What do you think?
Stanford, I think Stanford wins in a blowout, I'm not going to lie.
All right, well.
Take the over. Take the over.
All right, well, what about this Bryce Love for Heisman business? That's all anyone in the Bay Area can talk about. Him trying to win it, him not being promoted enough by Stanford.
That's also the only people in the nation that have watched him, so.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Living in Philly, what's the deal with watching Bryce Love?
Shoot, these games come on too late, man. I'm not even going to lie to you. I was trying to watch. I'm up tonight really supporting my Lakers and showing some love.
We might have to come back to that.
This would be like the third quarter of a game, like right now. And it's mad late, even for me, Stanford fan. It's tough to watch those games. I have to catch the score in the morning. But as a college football fan, I'm aware of what's going on. And I wouldn't let, you know what I'm saying, like, because my year, Christian was doing his things. We just had to play in so many night games. It wasn't fair that people on the East Coast weren't staying up to watch some ball. So, I mean, since I'm a college football, I can see who's balling around the league or something like that. But if you don't really keep up with it, you can miss out on a couple guys that are doing their thing on the West Coast.
So you really think it'll be Bryce Love over, say, Baker Mayfield?
I hope so, man. I mean, Baker Mayfield, what I'm hearing, is having a hell of a year.
He's got some big
wins. I haven't been able to watch that many games with him. But, you know, you hope your guy gets it. It's like Bryce Love, since game one, he's doing things that you – I'm going to be real, like, he's putting up to me Reggie Bush came to mind when he, like, breaks the run like that. Nobody's catching him when he gets in that open field. Like – It might look a little different, but, like, that's kind of how he's breaking runs to me and what I'm seeing. But I got different eyes than everybody else.
So on your team, then, who do you want, Christian McCaffrey or Bryce Love?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Christian McCaffrey or Bryce Love?
Yeah.
You can only pick one.
Shoot. I pick one, and I'm trading for the other.
That's a really good – that was good.
I can't answer that any better.
I know. That was actually really good.
I was just going to flip a coin.
So do you think you're going to make it back out here for – probably not for any games this year, but do you have plans to come back to the Bay at all?
Shoot, I'll probably be back out there. I think the Bay, I live close to the Bay, so I'm definitely probably going to do some work out there.
Nice.
And stop doing that school.
We'll have a couple of old pro nights.
Yeah, we should do the podcast.
Absolutely.
The old pro, for sure.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Good old pros.
Do that for March Madness.
With the late night patio.
Yep, late night patio afterwards. Did you guys see, though, I don't know if you follow Stanford basketball at all. I got to change gears, but they lost last night to Eastern Washington.
I saw that.
When do you think it's going to turn around for them?
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, I think I've watched maybe a little bit of two games.
Yeah,
two games
Cal Poly, Eastern Washington.
Right. And even, I think, did they have a scrimmage before that, too?
I think they did, yeah.
And... you know, I think the thing that's definitely hopeful is, like, just looking at some of these young guys that they have. Like, they have some athleticism that I have not seen on the Stanford team. Like, I can't remember what his name is.
Their young guys look different than young guys at Kansas, though.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Well,
that's all I'm saying.
There's a little difference in that. But I've never seen a Stanford player take off almost from the free throw line and dunk on somebody. And I saw that this year.
I'm pretty sure Josh Childress did that at some point.
Well, see,
at Stanford, not...
Yeah,
Josh Childress, but not in the league.
That was before I really knew what Stanford was.
Who did that, Waddy?
It was...
No. Oh.
Is it Cody Pugh, I think his name is? He's a young guy. I'll send you the video.
All right,
we'll post that on the Sideline Sass Twitter, so... Well, thank you.
I'll get to see that as well.
Thanks, Aziz, for joining us.
Yeah, we wish you the best in your recovery, and we want to see you out there on the big field.
Nah, I appreciate it. And then everybody listening, y'all go follow your boy on Instagram. It's Keith Crew.
We're going to.
SHI CRUE7. Holla at your boy, Keith Crew.
I may or may not follow back. No telling.
No promises. No promises. We're going to put your y'all's handle in the show notes. People will be able to see it. But in exchange for that, we do need...
We need retweets.
No. I'm not even going to ask for that. But I need you, Aziz, to say, stay sassy.
Say what?
I need you to tell everybody to stay sassy.
Stay sassy. There stay sassy, go. Y'all.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
From your boy. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Aziz.
Yep, I'll take it easy.
All right, brother.
All right, Waddy. Yep.
All right, so we are joined now by current Oakland Raider kicker, Giorgio Tavecchio.
Ooh.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you with us, especially during this very special big game week episode of the podcast. And we know you have a lot of memories to share and maybe some insight on this year's big game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The memories, I was a part of the team that last won the Axe in 2009. Curiously enough, it's kind of bittersweet for my own personal sake, because at the time I was the starting kicker on both field goals and kickoff, and I had a really bad warm-up on field goals during the game, so I got benched on field goals, and we ended up winning by 6 points, two field goals that my best friend, who I was competing with that full season, Vincenzo D'Amato, he stepped up and had a great game, and we ended up winning the game. So I guess it all worked out for everybody, but when I look back at the game, it's like, oh man, I had a really bad warm-up. But in my defense, Stanford has that grass field, and they had kept it purposely untamed and unkept.
Throw you guys off a little bit.
Yeah. So that was my excuse, but they did that because we had Javid Best, who was a stud running back, and they wanted to find a way to kind of slow him down, and they figured a bad field would maybe slow him down just a step or two, which didn't work because we won the game anyways on that Mike Muhammad interception over the middle late in the game to seal it. So.
That's right. Mike Muhammad. I actually reached out to chat with him, but he's living a little different life now. It's hard to get a hold of, and I was looking at his Instagram, and there's not a lot of football stuff on there, so I was like, well, whatever happened to Mike Muhammad?
Yeah, I wonder what he was up to. Remember, I worked out for the Texans, I think, a year or two ago, and I was around the facility for a little bit, and I remember seeing him in the training room, and I chatted with him a little bit, but I followed his LinkedIn at one point, and he was doing some business school stuff on the side. I mean, he's a smart guy. I remember at Cal, too, I graduated from Haas with that workload, plus football. I mean, he's a stand-up role model type of guy, so I'm sure whatever he's doing, he's probably successful.
Well, that's great talking about, working out for the Texans and everything like that. Now, you were picked up by the Raiders in 2015. Let's talk a little bit about your professional career as of right now. You've worked out, in the off seasons, but that final cuts, you never quite made it. But here you are, starting kicker for the Raiders.
The beloved Raiders.
The beloved Raiders. And filling in for the beloved Janikowski.
Yep.
So how has that, big shoes to fill, how has that been this year?
Yeah. Huge shoes to fill, but I'm tremendously grateful both for the journey that's got me to this point and for the experience so far. This for me has been a very spiritual journey, faith driven. I think like God has had a lot of hands and maybe feet, I should say, in all the little steps that have taken me to this point. And it's so cool to be able to be a part of the team that's kind of the hometown team and still be living in this area. I went to high school in this area, played college in this area, and now I get the chance to be on a professional team in this area, which I think is very, very, very unique. And the community has been unbelievably supportive, and not just my close-knit group of family and friends in this area, but even the Raiders community, and just over the years as well, getting to know them and hearing, and feeling their support. Now being able to kind of put it to good use on the field has been something I'm tremendously grateful for.
Well, you kickers are a resilient bunch.
Yeah, and being that resilient, I'm sure, over the years, you have really wanted to give up. You had to have. So talk about those moments where you thought maybe that was it for you.
No, it's a good point, I guess. There's always that wonder, that doubt, will I ever get on a team again? But I think when I really looked down at the depths of my heart, I really wanted it to work out, whether it was some form of passionate paranoia or something that I couldn't move away from at this time of my life, because you only really get one time of life one phase of life in which you can pursue the NFL, I just kind of kept going. And that's what motivated me. This offseason I was living in New York, working for a tech company. I was part of a three-month training program just to try to be responsible with my life outside of football. And I'd get up, 6 a.m., go kick on a, public park.
Most being of the time, responsible is overrated.
I know. See, I'm trying to avoid it, but, at the same time, I guess you got to have some balance. But in any case, what I'm trying to say is there was just something that, whether it was deeply within me or it was just something that was almost felt like a third-person experience where I just kind of kept trudging along, And in the cycle of getting signed to a team, training in the off-season, competing in training camp and preseason, and then getting cut, I always found something positive, from the experience or something that, in my mind suggested that I'm improving, that I'm getting better on a variety of levels, mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, even though I never tried to blame anybody else. This is a very difficult business, and a lot of times it just comes down to maybe you have to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to blame the business when maybe I felt I could have been better, Now, that's kind of fueled, in some respects, a bit of an unhealthy relationship because you're striving to be perfect. That's the only thing that's going to, I guess, keep it out of your hands, if you never miss a kick. But that's a bit unrealistic. But it's that productive paranoia in this case, which, coupled with this passion for this craft, which I found to be beautiful, both an art and a science, and then it's in the context of just the strongest team sport out there, it's just something that continued to fuel my passion and fuel a meaning and a purpose in my life that was just really difficult to ever turn away from.
I see in your future a book, Never Miss a Kick, the Giorgio Tavecchio story. Let me know when you want to write that. I got you.
Yeah, Emily can help you write that one. We'll have a little memoir going.
No, I can't do that. I'm already egocentric enough. If I write a book, then I only expect people to read it, and that's only going to fuel it even more.
No, but it could be more like, helping out other kickers out there and other players that were close to giving up or wanted to give up, and how I could see it as a very positive perseverance story.
It definitely can be. We don't need to write it on this exact interview right now, but I'm glad that we have this in the works and we're getting ready to go. But
trademark, copyright, never miss a kick, Giorgio Tavecchio.
Yeah.
So
Mark sideline chat.
There you go. All right. So since you it is the big game week, and you have a lot of experience, what do you think was your best moment from, say, that week leading up to the last win?
With all the
Cal
events going on and all the stuff that Cal and Stanford does to kind of pep everyone up, do you have any special memories or specific events that you liked outside of the game?
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much an event, but it was just during practice that week for the big game week. Players were allowed to kind of customize their helmets, and a lot of players would make kind of cool designs with tape. And, this one guy who was an offensive lineman, his name was Eddie Johnson. He was super artistic, and he had, a paper mache bear that, enveloped his whole helmet. And the jaw of the bear came down to, the face mask, and looked like, the visor was kind of poking through the bear's head. It was really cool. So people got really creative with stuff that they would put on their helmet.
That's sick.
That was something that made it kind of a fun week. You get into the end of the season, yes, it's a big game rivalry week, so people get excited just naturally, but you are kind of in the grind of the season, or maybe about to emerge from that middle grind of the season. So small things like that, getting to kind of decorate your helmet, made it kind of a fun, unique, kind of particular week. And then obviously the bonfire at the Greek Theater was always a fond memory of mine. This thing was just massive. It was all up 10, 15 stories high. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but it felt like that when you're standing next to it and you're 30, 40 yards, 30, 50 feet away, and you feel the heat, and it's almost unbearable. So that was always a really cool atmosphere. And of course, my memories, my first 2 years at Cal were fond that week because we won the game. Obviously, when you don't, it's not quite as fun. But regardless, I know a lot of players and the whole program obviously looks forward to that week, this week, the big game week, because there's such a storied rivalry between the two schools. And I have to say, as much as there's a distaste of Stanford, I always had certain respect for that. That they're a top-shaped institution. They seem to run their football program similarly, for the most part. Well, so think, being able to kind of face off.
Yeah, I think that the best football players, I think the best football players can actually, like, respect both teams, and that shows a lot about yourself, so.
Well, I'm just a kicker, so, you know.
Kaylee
don't
handing out compliments.
Hey, kickers
right
need
here.
Love, too. Jesus. Kickers need love, too.
Kickers are people, too.
Kickers are people, too.
Exactly.
Sure, I know.
And you know where that came
from. We tend to be nice people, so it's easier for us to respect people.
You know where that you know where that came from, right? That kickers are people, too?
No, but.
It's a little trivia here. I don't know if it started, but the Utah kicker, Andy Phillips, do you know him at all?
Yes. Yeah, I've.
He's one of my favorite people. We love him. He's going to come on. He's a good kid. He's the first person I saw tweet that. Him and Tom Hackett. And those two are hilarious.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I love Hackett. I mean, he plays by different rules, so he cracks me up.
Well, he's Australian, so they got their own rules.
That's exactly right. You're right.
The toilet bowl, flow the other way. I mean, everything's backwards down there. So
he literally didn't understand why people thought – it was so cool. He would sit there in interviews and say, I don't get why people get so excited about me kicking a piece of pigskin around the field. Like, that's all it is. He's like, I don't get it. I can't with him.
So speaking of this year's big game, have you do you keep up with your old alumni at all? Have you seen the new coaching staff? What do you think about them?
I keep up with a small group of people. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I would like, obviously.
This year
I've been a little bit more removed from the program as in years past, because during previous falls, I was unemployed, I guess you could say, right? So I'd help out with the program and go kind of coach the kickers and be around it. And I guess I'm very pleased from what I'm hearing and seeing from afar in this case, because it seems like there's a renewed energy. In Berkeley, we played very competitively in most games, and, gives a lot of optimism for the future with this staff and with this team. So
that's awesome.
It's gonna be an exciting weekend. Hopefully we have something to celebrate.
You have to make a prediction right now on the show. What do you think is going to happen? Cal, Stanford?
Cal 50-0. Always and forever, forever optimist.
Top 50. Wow.
I don't care. I don't care if I'm wrong. If loving Cal is wrong, I don't want to be right. So
I gotta say, we have a Stanford defensive player sitting with us right now. He's a former player, and we're not going to introduce him yet because he's coming on later. But he just looked. All he heard was me say drop 50, and he just kind of looked at me like, "What?" He can't hear you, but he can hear us. So it's pretty funny.
We'll have to fill him in later.
Yeah, well, my kicker said that, and it'll make sense. Like, oh, okay, I got to start speaking. No idea. Sorry.
All right. Well, you guys have kind of the Raiders have a little bit. Big game this weekend, Mexico City playing the Patriots. So what have you been doing to kind of, what has the team done to prepare
for playing in Mexico? So cool.
Totally different.
Yeah. The atmosphere is going to be different also because it's, I think, 9,000 foot elevation or 7,000 feet elevation. So it's going to be high, high atmosphere. So we've been training with some altitude mats just at, various points in practice to try to replicate that altitude.
But the Patriots stayed in Colorado in order to do that, so you guys should have flown up there. You guys could have had two teams bonding,
I mean, it's
that ain't the Raider way.
Not the Raider way.
One, that's not the Raider way. Two, that's above my pay grade, so I got no idea.
All right, well, we wish you the best of luck this weekend playing the Patriots and, your whole career. We're
really
gonna
have you back on to check in on this 50-0 score, in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
When Cal goes to a bowl game, which I think they're gonna get 6 wins. I think they will. But we'll check back in with you throughout. Hopefully you'll come back on. Hopefully we didn't scare you away.
No, hopefully I didn't scare you guys away. I know.
Never.
No way. 925 for life.
925 for life. Sure.
All right, Georgia. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Go Bears.
All right, everyone, welcome back. That was an awesome interview by Giorgio Tavecchio. Now, we're so happy that he was able to come on. I know they're traveling to Mexico City this weekend to play the Patriots, so we will be watching them and cheering him on. Get all them kicks. But
I think
he would not approve of that.
I think he would have liked it.
I've trademarked the Kicks phrase for his book, so don't even, let's not get into any legal.
I'm not trying anything new, I was just, alright, whatever. Well, coming back to join us is Mr. Jordan Watkins. Now, what do you think about Tavecchio's drop 50? How are you feeling about him saying they're going to drop 50 on your boys?
I guess the easiest way to say it is I don't think they're going to score that much, and I don't think we're going to score that little.
Oh,
I'll put it that way.
That was very nice.
That was a very
That's what I love about this rivalry is, unlike a lot of like Iron Bowl and Southern rivalries, this is a very civilized rivalry, and I feel like, you know, I know maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, during your time, there was nothing ever nasty, right? You guys never had any...
Well, I mean, I have a different point of view because I played on the line scrimmage where everything's pretty much dirty.
Okay, all right. But, well, like, no one went to your school and, like, vandalized your dorm or, like, stole your mascot.
Yeah, it was, I mean, besides just, you know, being a very tough competitive game, everything was, you know.
You shake hands after the game and you're good.
Right.
That's what I like about it. It's very civilized. Like Stanford tailgates where you drink white wine.
Oh, don't get me started on those.
And have cheese plates. Yeah. And
the one time I did a tailgate, I had a steak and Hennessy.
Oh
no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I don't know where you were, but I've never seen that. That's like they're pulling up with like TVs in their cars, and my family does one in Galvez, and it's, you know, checkered tablecloths and white chilled wine, and
silverware,
sushi platters,
steak in hand.
That's awesome.
Steak in hand.
We need a tailgate with you.
So Emily wants to do this. What did we learn from our podcast? So I'm gonna call her out if this doesn't work. So Emily, what'd you learn from this podcast?
I actually learned that
Tyrod Taylor's benched.
Who Tyrod Taylor was, and why he should not be leading my fantasy team this week.
No, well, who are you playing this week?
I also learned that he went to Virginia Tech, which I didn't know.
Played against them in the Orange Bowl.
And I learned that they played against them in the Orange Bowl.
There you go. You learned a lot.
2 years before I got there,
I learned many things. So that was one of them. I learned that Bryce Love has a firm handshake, and he would win in a handshake contest with Baker Mayfield. Probably.
Absolutely.
Probably. Jordan, what'd you learn?
Oh man. So besides the whole 50 deal.
You learned that Cal likes to drop 50 on people, or talk about it at least.
But no, I think one thing I definitely learned was how crazy Aziz still is.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What was he doing in the background?
Like, he was doing dishes.
Going to his car.
He may have. I couldn't tell you.
He's still wilding out, which I love.
Yes.
You learned that Wisconsin leads the nation in all these categories.
I did.
And then
I learned also how good Cal's defense is. I knew they were better, but just, you know, not to that extent.
Yeah. They force turnovers, which should be a concern for Stanford.
Yeah. What did I learn? I learned that a 3-hour time difference is a really big deal when you're trying to watch Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like...
I don't think it is. I was in New York, and I was in New Haven... At a bar, and I watch the games. It's not that big a deal.
But you're used to being out here, though.
I mean, just stay up and do it. Like,
if you wanna, if you are a Heisman voter, it should be your priority.
Now that I agree with.
It should be your priority. Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally.
You owe
agree.
It to the people to make the best educated decision you can.
Yeah,
I agree.
We should be Heisman voters.
We really should.
I'll do it.
Shout out.
Shout out whoever makes people
whoever
Heisman
makes those
voters.
Decisions. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Jordan, so much for joining us and being our guest host.
We'll be seeing more of him.
We will definitely be seeing more of him.
Awesome.
Trying to, you know, kick off his career on our side of the microphone, I think.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, stay tuned and
stay sassy.
Yes.